So before I welcome you to this special music-related podcast, I wanted to tell you that we have a playlist up on our Instagram page for you to check out and listen along to our favorite albums if you like. Just go to PA Staff Podcast, all one word, on Instagram, and there will be a YouTube playlist there for you to click on and listen to. Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast, and today, in this room, with me...
You have to sing your name.
Is...
The...
Brian Sunter.
The Dob Sherbo.
TV's Dob Sherbo.
TV's...
Sherbo?
Gavioli, Gavioli.
Gavioli.
And just regular old Josh.
Josh.
Josh. So, Brian,
Josh,
you wanted to say something?
You wanted to hijack this.
Oh, so Josh, you and I are playing each other in fantasy football.
Yep.
This week. So I figured we'd take this is like a timeout for trash talking.
Hopefully.
Because my team is going to wreck yours. It's going to wreck yours. It's going to turn your men into little boys. And then
what happened to your team last week, though?
They didn't do very well.
They did not. It's like, Jesus.
My team is a shit show. But I have all the Mannings, so I don't care.
I made the cardinal sin this year of drafting
all the Cardinals.
I drafted players from my own team. I'm a Lions fan, and I have the Lions quarterback and the Lions receiver, so it's just like a recipe for depression.
But
when the Lions suck, I suck.
Krahulik did that,
too.
He did Seattle, and he did really well.
That was the worst for Jeff, because he played against Jeff, and the Seahawks lost. But all the Seahawks that are on Krahulik's team had really good like fantasy weeks. So he lost to Seahawks, and the Seahawks lost. It was like a double jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. He was not very happy.
I don't think he's been into work this week.
No, he was in Monday. Well, he had to be.
He's been in every day.
He was forced.
I'd like to be outside right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea with my... But I'm going to... Mathematically, LeGarrette Blount shouldn't be started, but I think I'll start him... Just so we can haunt you.
It's not going to haunt me.
He's going to score.
That's
three
like a
touchdowns.
Oh, good. Really thanks. Made out of. The only time he's done well is in the postseason on the Patriots.
He's going to be great. You'll see. Anyway,
maybe it's just like a huge swarm of lightning
bugs.
I
see green the same way I see green. Sorry, I glazed over while you guys were
talking about sports.
Yeah.
Actually, I was editing my lineup because I remembered that Thursday night football is still a thing.
Yeah.
Despite my best efforts.
That's the hardest thing to remember.
Oh, they do it like wrestling. No,
it really sneaks up on you. No matter, even like as a dedicated, like I try to look at my team a couple times a week and play around, especially early in the season. I still get, Thursday still sneaks up on me.
Thursday night football makes me angry. It makes me actually
angry. Who plays
angry
this week? It's someone on my team.
I don't fucking care.
Well,
apparently the Broncos do because I have their defense.
That's kind of important for you. You also have their Peyton Manning.
I need Peyton.
Ooh. Yeah, but I'm not playing Peyton.
Mm. You're going to start Eli?
I'm going to start Eli, yeah, because Peyton
Eli Roth
got fucking rocked this week.
Oh, that's
right. He's going to do well this week, and he's going to throw a lot of touchdowns to his tight end. You'll see.
I think he will do well also, but I'm still going to go with Eli. For the week, I'm gonna give them both. Got to give them both their time.
They could each have to start. It's like shotgun style.
I need to see.
Get to use a shot from both.
I need
both
them to
brothers.
Prove to me which is my favorite son.
But did Eli do better last week?
I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's not
the
good.
The defense, like he put together one drive. I guess their defense really won them that game. Lost them, then they
do
lost.
Trees
right?
Brag about the amount of branches they have.
I feel like they would.
Okay.
Like they're like my leaves.
Yeah.
So lush.
All right. The real podcast is about
trees.
The
music,
real
music that we are listening to podcast? Currently.
Music cast.
That we like.
Number one. Is this the first?
We're the music. Yeah. This is the hipster cast.
To immediately specify, though, none of my music is current music. Like,
it doesn't
like
have
this,
to be. It's just
I just like, I realized. I was like, this isn't new music, though. This is like the last 2 years.
I think it's funny to note that I was listening to. I almost sent you an email today to warn you to stay out of my office, as if you come in that often, but like, because I was listening to Nicki Minaj, and I was like, this would end our
I can only tolerate two Nicki Minaj songs, and they are Truffle Butter and Feeling Myself.
Yeah. The one has Drake on it.
One has Drake on it, one has Bay on it. I can get behind a Drake Bay.
But there's the Drake song that has Nicki Minaj.
And I skip right through her.
Yeah. Doesn't seem tolerable.
Next nope. track.
Next track.
That's how it goes.
So who wants to start? Not who wants it. To lead off?
I don't remember what I even wrote.
Oh, my damn it. God.
Jesus. Josh, why don't you start us off? To?
Josh.
All right.
You're going to start it.
I'll start it off.
Do this right for us.
With, let's say, my favorite band right now.
Okay.
Hell right yeah. now. That not my great. Favorite Hell band yeah. overall.
No,
just
I would never do that of you.
Band like I want to listen it's to all
a,
the time.
The world is constant. The universe is constantly in flux, and so are our music tastes.
No. I have one band that's my favorite ever.
Yeah,
but this is just my favorite right now.
Radio Bed.
No.
Tool.
No.
Guar.
No. It is
Coal circle. Chamber.
Oh wait, I got this.
Yeah, you like that?
I got
pole?
This. I got
Meat
this.
Meat Puppets.
Yanni.
Skinny.
You got
puppy.
It. Yanni.
John Tesh Project.
His new album.
Kenny G.
No. It is Kenneth, a band that I forgot their name.
Oh.
Favorite name? Band.
Yeah. Yeah.
The band that's in that in Fooly Cooly.
The Pillows. No. It's not the shit. Pillows.
What's the band you're currently listening to that
Hold
you really
on,
like
I
a
gotta
lot?
Look.
Oh, no. For real?
It's like a blank. It's
How
like
can
a,
you call them a favorite?
Because I am blanking. It's a blanking okay. thing. It's they, not like I...
If you're not listening to them, you can't operate.
I just don't fucking...
Josh they has a computer a in front of him. Dependency. He's using... Podcast performance enhancers. The rest of us have to
Here we go.
Go. Off of our.
Here we go.
I have a phone. I don't know what you guys are.
Oh, there we go. About. It's a complicated name. It's a band
it's
that
Radiohead.
I've always liked, but never really got into any of their albums. Like I always kind of respected them.
Sure.
You know, I kind of like their stuff, but it just none of them ever clicked except this current one, which I think should be album of the year. It's that good.
AOTY.
It's Unknown Mortal Orchestra. Multi Love. And it is a great album front to back.
What's the genre? What was genre are we in? Are we in?
They are kind of always in a jazz genre.
Okay.
But it's kind of funky, kind of loungy. And he's got a crazy good voice, crazy interesting, kind of like not like CeeLo's voice, but kind of like a weird. Weird voice like CeeLo.
So it's like CeeLo. It's like
I
a
know
post,
who CeeLo is, man.
A post-scat.
No, there's no like scatting.
Ultra lounge.
It's loungier.
Ultra lounge.
It's loungier. It's sexy.
Shugan, with like a twist of lime.
But yeah, the title track is ridiculously good. I've listened to it so many times in a row, and I haven't done that in a long time.
So what's the band name? Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test?
Yes. Unknown Mortal Orchestra. They've been around for a long time.
Unknown Mortal.
But yeah. I don't know that I would have listened to
What made you listen to them?
Well, see, there's a new thing I've gotten on recently, a couple months ago. It's called Vinyl Me Please. You ever heard of that?
Yeah. No.
It's an amazing vinyl club. If you're getting into vinyl at all, it's awesome.
That's the startup is... This company that Amy works for.
Is it like Birchbox for vinyl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And it's really cool because it's not just like a fucking, you know, regular record. Like most of them are super limited edition, cool colors. So, yeah. And you get a print with
I
it. So it's like
color vinyl.
Yeah, I won't buy vinyl.
It's collector just, shit. Just you know, like that's
some BS.
180 gram.
It's awesome.
Tell me about your gram.
So yeah, it's gotten me into a lot of different stuff. And I've joined a couple other record clubs because
pump up the grams.
Yeah, pump up the grams.
Because I decided to get back into records.
I mostly just buy vinyls of re-releases from bands I listened to in like 2004.
Well, you know.
But
that's what I normally would do, but this has gotten me to listen to a lot of new music.
Most current bands, though, are like putting out vinyl when they release a new record.
Yeah.
It's a big, I mean, it's like a big no matter the Kickstarter genre. Thing, like always having that as an option when you do a Kickstarter.
Well, and the
I
good
it's
thing,
vinyl
it's like a
too.
Pre-release option. Usually like if you want to buy this album, we've got a limited run of this many vinyls, comes with a t-shirt or.
Yeah.
It also usually comes with a digital download. So you may as well just get
always.
The vinyl. Like,
always.
Yeah.
Josh,
the
I realize that I
have
like
a collector's
three
item.
Copies of
I've listened
digitally.
To that. Your band, Unknown Mortal Orchestra. You recommended them to me like 2 years ago, and
yeah,
I remember like sitting
forever.
In the old office, like the Fremont office, and listening to it like on a late night like work shift. And I remember thinking that they were pretty good.
Yeah, you listen to this one; it is ridiculous. Like seriously, I think it should be album of the year. I don't know that it will be.
It's
I feel like
it
should
be. So this is a 2015 release.
It's not going to be like Destroyer's new album.
Yeah, brand new. The people that vote on this stuff, I don't know. I'm confused by them. I didn't like
Album of the Year by stuff. What? By what?
You know, just like general indie rock radios. They usually pick the same fucking thing.
Well, I mean, like Spin or Pitchfork or something. Like every place has like their own like Album of the Year, Rolling Stone.
Yeah, but they generally have like they generally pick the same people for the most part. And so I'm saying like in that list, in that, you know, in the indie space radio list, I think it should be top. I think it should be top. I think it will be top, maybe.
Do you maybe get it right? Round table one album at a time?
I think that's a good idea, yeah.
All three, okay.
That would be
in order, it's either Gav or Brian, depending on which direction we're going.
I can go next.
Oh.
I'm going to look at my email
and
see what
one of mine is Minor Alps. And they only have one album. They probably will only ever have one album, but it's called Get There. And I think it was 2 years ago. It was Barsook Records, which is like a local Pacific Northwest label. Mm-hmm. That's what Death Cab was on when they first came out and stuff. Barsook Records did a concert series because it was their 15th year. And so they were doing this thing where they'd take some of their artists and they'd have them perform an entire album. And so I went to see the Long Winters perform When I Pretend to Fall. And the opener was Minor Alps. And it was their first show ever, the debut of their album. And I had downloaded it on iTunes before their performance was over because that is how much I was like into it.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah. And so it's a duo. It's a female singer and a male singer, and the male singer is actually the singer from Not a Surf.
Mm.
And so this is just a side project that the two of them worked on because I guess they'd been wanting to work together for like the longest time, and so they got together and did this. And it's like I started listening to it again because it's like my fall music. I really like listening to it.
It sounded very fall-y.
In this like type of season, but it. Trying to think how I would categorize it. I mean, it's very much got that indie sound. Like some of it's more gentle, some of it's like a little. It's more Not a Surf.
Got me into them too.
Yeah.
I remember when the Barsook thing happened, I was following that too because there's a few bands in the Barsook labels that I was into.
Yeah, they got a lot of good bands.
I feel like maybe the Barsook party was the one that I missed that I really wanted to go to, where Menomina played.
Yeah, they had a bunch. Like it was awesome. Like,
then they had Fantagram as like a guest artist for that, and I missed. I wanted to go see Menomina, and then Fantagram was like a late ad, and the tickets were available, and I just forgot to buy the tickets, and then they like did a final announcement when they added Fantagram and all the tickets just sold out then.
Yeah.
But like I really want to see Menomina. That's who I think was it Elvi is like one of the dudes from Menomina
and the other dude
someone
is from
somewhere else. One of the other big bands that we're in here.
Indie rock band. What the fuck? I'll remember it later.
Yeah, it's a bigger name, indie rock band, but it's like two dudes from two like kind of local big bands got together and made Elvi, which is like a sort of I've only heard one song from them, and it seems to have like a slightly surfer rock edge to the I don't even
the Elvi stuff
into that.
Yeah.
Oh, the songs that I listened to were a lot more synth poppy.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was synth-pop. I've only heard one song from them so far, and I thought it was good, but just the pedigree of the band's good. But anyway, Minor Alps, really good, and I consider them just to be sort of like Pacific Northwestern.
Yeah, it's like it's very
folk.
It's very calm. It's like folk, but a little more.
In the same school
punky.
Is like the Head and the Heart, but like a little folkier.
I'd say Head and the Heart's a lot more folky because they've got like that traditional sort of alt country sound. Whereas like I would say like the dynamic that the two singers have in Minor Alps reminds me of Postal Service, but not like the music. Musically, it's not electronic at all. But I don't know. I like a lot of the song subject matter is about like
small
awkward
mountains.
Situations of like dating and stuff like that. And one of my favorite tracks is Maxon, and the other one that is probably my favorite on the album is called Waiting for You, and it basically just sounds about like somebody going through like their everyday motions of life, just saying that like they're waiting for someone, and like I always took it to think that they're waiting for like that someone, like not a specific person, but they're waiting for anyone to come along that they're like gonna fall in love with and stuff. But I love this album. I listened to it when I was in Tokyo and like albums sort of become time machines for me. Mm-hmm. So like every time I listen to those songs, I'm like on the bus on my way to the train station to like meet Robert in the city, and we're gonna go, you know, whatever our plan for the day is. So I love music that you can listen to and has like a specific time that it represents for you, so that you can kind of be transported to that memory. And I sort of purposely try to foster that, where when I listen to an album, I will listen to it like over and over again if I'm in a specific place or doing a specific thing, so that I like sort of train myself to associate the things together.
And just for everyone's information, the other half of LVI is The National.
Oh yeah, oh, there you go. I can't do
like
the
drummer from The National, right? And then
I want to like The National so bad, but I can't listen to anything where all of the music is just in the same wavelength.
Yeah,
yeah.
The same reason I can't do
the mumbly.
Who else? That's like
the editors. Yeah, in that space.
The editors. Interpol.
A lot of these bands, a lot of those bands are great. Like I consider, there's a few other bands like this, like Travis too, that are like have a very distinct sort of sound. They don't depart from it too much. So they're awesome in mixes, but they're terrible for
right.
albums.
Well, I like them lyrically. I like them musically, but I cannot listen to the vocals. Like I can't.
It's like, but throw them into a mix and it's all of a sudden more dynamic.
Yeah, when one song comes in, you're like, oh, that's different.
I like
but when you're listening to the whole album, you're just like, I want to go to sleep now.
I think The National is best used for like ugly crying in the dark, personally.
Applied like, directly to
like
the forehead.
Really just letting it unleash. Because man, he can keep you sad for a good 60 minutes.
Pins you down.
Yeah.
You all right?
It's a suplex of sadness.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
So anyways, I'm having a great day, everybody. Don't go to my office later.
Why are your lights off?
It's fine.
I'm fine.
Dave, what is your first album?
Oh, my first album came out last week. It came out last Tuesday, and I had written an actual list for you guys, and I've modified it like twice since because I get up on that new music shit all day. The first one I want to do is a band called The Wonder Years, and they are a quote-unquote pop-punk band from Philly. And I say quote-unquote because this album is kind of a departure from their normal sound. It's called No Closer to Heaven, I think. Yeah, we're going to call it that.
It's just called now.
So all of their other albums, they pretty much talk about being a kid and growing up and kind of like coming back to the town you grew up in and like seeing it like, every single track seems to reference that, and they'll talk about like going to Denny's, and they'll talk about, you know, the bowling alley that they all used to hang out in, and
it's all the good old days.
And this is the first album they actually, I think they called it like a trilogy of albums that were all kind of about getting ready to leaving and then coming back. And so this is their first album that's breaking that, and they don't really sound like a pop punk band anymore. They occasionally do the pop punk drum beats, but nothing cheesy vocal wise. They actually more in the emo rock or larger sound now.
Yeah, I felt like they sounded, I mean...
Thank you for listening.
Sort of like Thursday.
Yeah, but not...
I mean, not obviously vocally like that, but it had the same feel to it.
Sure.
It had like, the same feeling, yeah.
Because Thursday would always try to do like some larger sounding stuff.
Yeah.
And a review of the album, I actually checked it out recently, said that he was not bummed out, but he noted that every track sounded like he was getting over emotional with the vocals to where it's like every song sounded like the main song that you'd want to like build up to.
Mm.
So perhaps that is a problem, but I enjoy it. recommend it. I don't even have a favorite track on it because I think it plays really well as an album. Mm. So check that one out if you have any of your... If you respect that emo type rock genre,
but not the bad emo, not the stereotypical.
Yeah,
emo.
we're not gonna go nasally voice here. Yeah. This guy has a really big beard, like a good one.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it's solid. Anyway, Brian,
you're up, Bri.
I'm gonna start,
Bri guy,
because everyone's sort of done more on the rock side. I'm going to start with Run the Jewels.
All right.
I mean, this may be a kind of a popular play, but I mean, I'm a pretty functional music listener. I tend to have different music for different things that I'm doing, and I almost always have...
Like Ugly Crying in the Dark.
Yeah.
I thought about putting 1989 on this list, because that's what I'm currently listening to as well. So it's like...
Taylor Swift.
I was like, everybody knows about that album, though.
Yeah. I mean, I could talk for that about the concert. The concert was amazing. Sure. But like, I'm unashamed that I will listen to pop music and I'll listen to rap. Like, I'm all over the place.
It's pop for a reason. Yeah. It's good. It's people
designed,
like it.
It's a I'm sweet, ashamed. Sweet pill.
Yeah.
Easy to swallow.
Sugar music.
But I usually have like a mix that I put together for workouts that is sort of is more upbeat music.
Smart.
And stuff. And but I haven't been using it. All I do is the Pandora station for Run the Jewels because that mix is so good. It's like Run the Jewels is like heavy beat, like kind of hardcore rap.
It's very aggressive, but it's not like gangster in the subject matter. It's just
lyrically. I mean, some of the lyrics are pretty.
They get aggressive,
sexual and stuff. But like for the most part, it's pretty clever, and it's not all just like money, hoes, and rims, which is nice. Like it's all side project stuff.
Yeah,
for it's Killer Mike.
It's a super group.
And then
LP.
The station, the Pandora station, ends up splitting off into all those various rappers' side projects and other people's side projects, which is pretty cool because it's like not if you just listen to radio or whatever, yeah. You're not gonna get most of these songs just sort of like out in the world. You're not gonna be walking through the mall and hear most of the stuff that ends up playing, but it's all a little bit on the harder beat. It like keeps me going through a workout.
Lots of MF Doom, Aesop Rock.
Yeah, I love MF Doom. I mean, like Danger Doom is still one of my favorite albums of all time, that Danger Doom album. And it's all in stuff in that genre, and a Danger Doom song will come up every once in a while too. So yeah, I think it's Run the Jewels 2 is just the name of the album. It's their second album.
Jerry wanted to let you know that is the permanent soundtrack to working out. It used to be Daft Punk for him, but every single time he goes in there, he hits your playlist for Run the Jewels. Like, he needs it.
That one, it's so good. And that's, I mean, look, I've broken every...
And I've used it, too.
Every personal record I've broken down there as far as on the rowing machine has been done with that.
Nice.
It's the record breaker.
Yeah. So, I
mean, all right.
My tense up.
Run them jewels fast.
Next album is another... Well, I mean, I guess Unknown Mortal Orchestra wasn't a record find, but this is actually a record find from one of the record clubs. And it's 100 Waters. I'd never heard of them before.
I've never heard of them either.
No. Garden State soundtrack is like one of my favorite soundtracks.
Sure.
And
much better than the movie.
The reason for that, hey, the movie's great, okay? Yeah. I like that movie.
Not Zach Braff.
Frou Frou. Uh-huh. Love that band.
Oh, fuck.
Cannot get enough of that fucking band.
Yeah.
Really? This band sounds a lot like them, and I love that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Frou Frou gets
it's very
Frou Frou. Because of Garden State, like...
I don't know. They were kind of in my...
The lead singer for Frou Frou is Imogen Heap.
Yeah.
When Shire.
Yeah, she went off.
Not really my style, but...
Oh, really?
You know, I tried to get into them, but it's... I like Frou Frou
man,
way better.
I love her stuff. No, she's... I fucking love it.
But yeah.
That first solo.
It's strong. If you like Frou Frou... Which sounds weird, but
it sounds like a Pokemon because there is a Pokemon called Frou Frou.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Pokemon because Frou Frou.
Or if you like the Garden State soundtrack, you should try out 100 Waters. The album is The Moon Rang Like a Bell, which is a cool name for an album.
That's
a
cool name.
I've listened to a couple of those,
but
their songs.
It's a good album.
Feel more chill. I'll put that on.
Yeah, it's a good chill out album. Or a good, like, get sexy album. To me, that's what Frou Frou feels like.
I like that genre of the ambient, which Frou Frou and Imogen Heap and 100 Waters All Fallen is like sort of like that ambient bass. Like, I like that
with really interesting high vocals.
I mean, this is gonna sound weird, but it almost feels like the modern progression of pop Enya is sort of how I think of them.
I mean, it's
that's okay.
It would be kind of that kind of break off from there.
It's like Fuji showed us that you could take an Enya song and make it hot to death. And then people just took that formula.
And I think the singer does not ever come out of falsetto the entire time. It's all high falsetto, which
is interesting.
Would
you put Glass Animals in that space too?
I don't know.
Glass Animals a little more funky.
You're up.
Gav.
I've got Allison Wise, her album... actually, I don't know what the name of the album is. Oh, Say What You Mean. I'm currently, I've got a playlist going with all of her music in it because I'm going to see her in October. She is the headliner, and a good friend of mine, Mal Blum, is performing on tour with her. They're good friends, and so they've both got new albums coming out, so I was like, I want to get like super familiar with all of Allison's stuff before the show, and I want to really get the most out of it. So, but I think that Say What You Mean is her most recent like full release. She's got like an EP since then, but I think my favorite track on it is probably I Was an Island, but like it has such
an island.
It's so strong. The whole album has like a super strong start. Like the first four songs are fantastic, but she's got like very much like singer-songwriter, acoustic guitar, and then like as like her music progresses and stuff starts to get a little more punk, it's a little more dancey. Little rock in there. Yeah, it's strong, and I love her voice. She's got like when she starts to like sing sort of calmly, she gets that little like break every now and then in her voice and stuff, and like a little the way that she enunciates, I really like it. Actually reminds me a lot of Mal's music. They have similar sounds.
Fun fact to interject to Penny Arcade longtime fans is I lived in Ohio in the year 2009, and I read a post by Jerry Holkins, aka CW Tycho, and he introduced Allison Weiss to me via that post. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that name, and I was like, oh shit, I haven't listened to Allison Weiss in years. So I went back through and listened to it. But he mentioned that. So there's a potential fan base that already exists in PA because of that.
Could be.
She also does a fantastic cover of Robin's Call Your Girlfriend on one of her EPs.
God damn it.
It's an amazing song.
This is the second time I've heard Robin referenced recently.
Really?
Yeah.
She's great. That's such a good, like that.
I love that.
She's strong.
Robin's good. And that Royksopp Robin song is so fucking monument.
I like, love Call Your Girlfriend. What's the other Robin song I really like? One about like dancing alone or something like that.
I
think it's called.
Is that what it's called?
Dancing on My Own.
Yeah.
That's like what put her on the map, right?
But yeah, this album's really good. I'm excited for the new album, which comes out like really soon. I don't think it's out yet, but it's impending.
Wait, so I haven't listened to Allison Weiss. Mm-hmm. Is she in that Robin?
She sounds absolutely nothing like Robin.
Okay. Yeah, she does sound like Robin.
No, she does a really great acoustic cover of Call Your Girlfriend.
Like, yeah.
Like it takes it down to here.
I can't believe there would be a Scandi pop
like
band
you can't,
that I've missed.
You can't dance to it. It's very like, it's like a little acoustic cover.
Well, that
warms your heart a little bit.
I spend half of my life listening to Scandi pop.
Occasionally she gets some Minus the Bear drums that you can dance to. It's good. Okay. Mine is a departure from anything listenable by people that don't like screaming, and that is Gatherer's new album called Quiet World. They are
it sounds like the opposite of what it is.
Oh yeah, it's not that quiet. It's definitely pretty aggressive. They are a post-hardcore band from New Jersey, and they actually just changed singers. And I was a big fan of their previous release with their old singer. And I honestly thought they broke up because they'd been on hiatus for, I think, 2 or 3 years. And I just hadn't been paying attention. And then that was recommended to me in Spotify or something. And I was like, they used to be called Gatherer. And now they are Gatherers. And I looked it all up. And I found that. And they had like a band from the UK is called Gatherer. And so they had to change. But it happened to work out because now they sound almost entirely different. Their new singer has some interesting grumbliness to his voice that I would describe the vocalist normally as like a yell, but he can pull some Trophy Scars Jerry Jones, which is
gravelly.
That's gonna grab no one. But his main influence is like Tom Waits, so there is some graveliness out of there.
I like Tom Waits,
and that's very unexpected because their previous singer, was very high pitched and up there. So. If that sounds interesting to any of you, you should really try it out. Ritual Flowers, I think, is a really good song on that album. You can check that out. But I'm not going to talk about it for too long because I think it is a bit less accessible than any of the other music we've talked about. But
like, can you try to sell me on the idea of like the screaming music? Like,
can if I, you don't already like it? No.
Yeah, but here's my question is like, don't you feel like any one of those songs would be better if just sung without the screaming.
No way.
You need to understand the energy at a show.
Yeah.
When those parts of a song drop and the entire audience is like moving and screaming to it, it's like it's music that you experience.
So here you go. It's like saying that every guitar would be better acoustic rather than with distortion. It's the same thing. It's vocal distortion. You know, you're fucking up your voice. It's the same thing. So it's just.
But it doesn't seem
adding
like,
aggression.
It's like how Conor Ober sounds like he's crying when he's
singing. It just feels like if when you're screaming, you're hitting one note.
He has a pretty decent range when it comes to actual screams, and there are clean vocals in it, so it goes kind of back and forth. Yeah. Not like very. It shifts between. It doesn't necessarily is like a clean and then a scream. It's kind of like a fluctuation between, and I think that's why I like it because. That's still a bit of talent to do that.
And there are plenty of bands that do only make one tone in their scream.
Yeah.
But that's not all. That's not all there is.
Yeah.
There's real question.
A lot of variation.
Is do post-hardcore bands come from anywhere but the East Coast?
I don't think
And the answer is no. The Northeast specifically.
Well, Touche Amore came from LA.
I've listened to a few out here when I used to go to
shows. But were any of
them
born on the East Coast and then moved out?
There was, I mean... For a while, I was going to a lot of shows in and around here, and there was a lot of that sort of... It was all posty-post-something bands.
Posty-post.
It's got to be post-hardcore.
Mm-hmm. It was like a lot of
There's just like a big hardcore movement
post-rock.
In,
it's like
in Northeast.
Shoegaze with screaming.
I can't do shoegaze.
But what's interesting is in Seattle, there's always some... Like, no matter how bad a band sounds to you, like, good or bad, like... That you can have the worst band opening for like some like no name band. There's always someone who's amazing at their instrument or their like piece. There's always one person who you're just like, they're gonna, if they would just leave this band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like always something to find. There's always that like silver lining for like, you could just basically pick a show and it could be nothing that you're interested in. If you just listen and watch, you'll see that someone there is just like super talented. And so I've never had a wasted night out in Seattle, in the Seattle music scene.
It's a great music scene here though. We're very lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can just go, there's all kinds of little dive places. Yeah. It's like $5 cover and you can
Except
see some great stuff.
Small bands that tour out of their pockets find it
very
hard to get that
really,
routing.
It's really hard to come all the way up here.
Because they'll hit here in Portland and then skip anything else and try to make it back down to like Sacramento or something. It's a very long drive.
It's hard to get anywhere north of LA if you're coming all the way over here. Like
yeah.
Even to San Francisco.
So there's such a big gap.
Same way when I was in Florida, nobody wants to drive down there because then you just have to drive back up. Like there's nothing that you can get on the way.
Yeah. You have to hit like the shallower parts of the
PA was awesome for that. Everybody would come to Philly or they'd come to Camden or something. Like they were either in Jersey or Philly. Everything was really, really accessible.
Yep.
Saw tons of great bands in like barns and stuff, you know, like just, there's a huge like rockabilly scene in PA when I grew up, and like
house shows are a big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Super fun.
It's my turn, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit about Robin, and in the same sort of genre.
Strong.
Is Aurora, who I don't think has put out a full album yet, but every one of her singles that she's put out that I've listened to on Spotify has been like really, really good. Like as good as or better than anything I've listened to from Robin. Like every song strong, everything really great. Great voice. I think she's a younger girl who's writing all of her stuff on her own, like super independent label kind of thing. And has talked about wanting to do a full album, but isn't sure if she's ready to do it yet. I mean, like, I don't know the full backstory. This is sort of from conversations with a couple friends, but I've enjoyed every song that I've listened to from her. And I think she probably has a new one out. She puts a new one out every month or so right now. All really good, sort of upbeat in that Scandinavian pop style, female vocalist kind of stuff. Let's see if I can.
Like 100 Red Balloons, like that?
Like Robin is the closest.
I don't know.
not that kind of Scandinavian.
That's the only, song I
Josh,
know.
We need you to listen to Robin. That's the impetus of this podcast. This is an intervention to get you to listen to Robin,
I'm
which you will
doubting
hate.
It will be my style.
Which you will absolutely hate.
But you never know.
Do you like to dance?
It depends. I don't like to dance.
So no. Then you will not like Robin.
Yeah,
I love listening to Robin.
It's uncomfortable.
While in the club.
I think that
and dancing
duh club
with
Runaway. by Aurora is like the good place to start. That's probably my favorite so far.
Not by Kanye, but by Aurora.
Correct.
But you can't go wrong either way.
Really, really good though. I give it a Gavin will enjoy guarantee stamp.
Nice. That's hard. Hard these days.
I'm a stubborn music listener.
Let's go for a third and final album each, so and then my we can get last, into some generic discussion.
My last album is one of my favorite bands ever, but this album, which also came out this year, I believe, or maybe end of last year, I did not really like at first. It took me a long time to get into it because, well, I mean, it's Aphex Twin.
Okay.
And I felt like this album was not Aphex Twin. It has a lot going on, which normally, in a way, Aphex Twin doesn't. Like, it's a little more sparse.
Yeah.
With way interesting instruments.
More dynamic.
Yeah, more dynamic, but not as many instruments. And this had just a ton of shit going on. And when I would listen to it, like in the car, I would just be going and like, I don't even know where I am. I think this CD just repeated.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Not the CD, but you know. And so I was really disappointed because it was not catching me. But then I took the time to actually sit and really listen. And that's where it is. You have to actively listen to this album to get everything, because there's so many sounds, so many cool sounds going on, that if you don't actively listen, you'll just lose everything. It'll kind of become a little bit of a blur.
You'll actually die. It will wash you away.
So it's worth listening to, especially if you want to be really engaged in something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you like Aphex Twin, you know. Lots of cool sounds.
I feel like Aphex Twin is a band that you could listen to normally and not pay full attention to and really like it. So it's interesting that they released one that it's like,
yeah,
you really
have to pay attention. I mean, because it's been so long since he released one. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, he's going for something big and something different for him, you know, so. But I really like the album now, so. It's worth checking out if you like that shit.
Yeah. Get on it.
Cool.
PA family.
Cool. My last one is probably definitely my favorite out of the ones that I mentioned today, but it is Against Me's most recent album, January 2014, Transgender Dysphoria Blues. And it is so good, y'all. The whole album is super strong front to back. And I got to see them perform pretty recently, like maybe a month ago or so. And it sounds just as good live as it does on the album. And I say that because a lot of times you see bands live and there is something missing. Or sometimes they sound like way different, but like way better than the album. And it was just like so authentic. And it was just awesome to like get the energy of the live show added to the album experience.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
Yeah, but it's a super strong album. And like my favorite tracks are honestly the first two tracks. And the first one is the title track. But I mean, Against Me has been around forever, like since the 90s, late 90s. And they're from Gainesville, which I can imagine how difficult it would be to be Against Me in Gainesville. But I've been listening to them since, you know, I was a kid, just a great punk band. And their lead singer, guitarist, Laura Jane Grace, came out as transgender in 2012. And then this album was just sort of like the answer to that experience, like for her to like super openly share. And it's awesome because there's like nothing there's nothing out there like this, like this honest and this raw, and also like this accessible, I think, because it's still just like, it's a great punk album, like regardless if you've been a fan for a long time or whatever, like it's a really accessible album to get into if you aren't sure if you're a big punk fan or anything like that. And I don't know, I love it. It's so good.
It's very anthemy, but all of their albums are very anthemy.
Yeah And it's I think the last album that I super loved before this was New Wave, and that came out in like 07. But that was I think that was their most successful album.
That's and, I think when they made it like quote unquote big for that.
Right. That was like their breakthrough album where they got out of just the punk scene and into, you know, more of a more of a mainstream dialect.
That's when they move from the small stage to the big stage in the venues I would see them at.
Yeah, yeah. And this one, I think, is sort of in the same vein sound-wise as that release. So if you have listened to that one or like that one, you'll love this one. But I don't know. I keep coming back to it. Like, listen to this album now for like almost a year. And I just keep coming back to it because it's always strong. It's always like a good album to get like amped up to. So I recommend it.
Stoked. Getting amped.
Totally stoked on getting amped. Totally pumped on getting hyped.
Yeah, so my third album is going to be an interesting one because I'm going to decide last minute because there are three in my brain and two of them I sent in emails and kept changing. And then I found a really good album I really like last night and I've been listening to it nonstop. So I'm going to mention it because this is the music you're into right now, Cast. And I think so I can...
Genesis?
Yeah, so Genesis
I Can't Dance.
Exactly. That song was pretty monumental for me.
That's a great album.
It's really good. Jesus, He Knows Me.
And... Gav made fun of them in my car because their name is Whirr. That's W-H-I-R-R.
Their name is Whirr. Oh, yeah, yeah. Again.
Their name is Whirr, and they are a...
they're shoegaze.
I would call them... Drony.
Yeah, they're rock. Drony, but...
They're not like drone metal.
They're not
drone, like
yeah. Their drone is more metally, but they're... I would say they're a lot like Hum, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, if you heard that band.
And Were.
Yeah, I mean,
The album's
sense.
Called Sway. And their vocalist, it's not possible that he is
alive.
Turned up in any manner. Like,
he's
it's
not
just,
turnt.
By
any definition.
The vocals are not hot in any way. They come out as an instrument. Because you can't really identify the words because all you hear is like a and it's cool because he has like a cool melody. Like
there was literally a track called Mumble, you guys.
Yeah.
There's literally a track called Mumble.
Whirr and Hum with Sway, Mumble and Sway. Rattle and Hum.
There's a band
called... The album's
called
Sway. The song is called Mumble. The band is called Whirr.
There's a band I really like called Pity Sex that has two vocalists and is... Still drony, but a lot more coherent and able to identify lyrics and everything. This is a lot like Pity Sex, but with, I guess, more incomprehensible vocalist. And that's not something that people like. But I really, really like it. In fact, the first song I heard on my like recommended, I had one track from them. I was like, I want to hear all of this. And I like put on the headphones, which means... I'm going to play it as loud as I possibly can. And like, really, it really got me into the drawing zone. I feel like it's perfect to work to because there are no words to it that you can comprehend. And so it's like if you
there's
find
sounds,
if you are into like programming and you can't type sentences while people are talking, like I am, it's not even registered in that area. So it's totally,
it's an attempt at human speech.
Yeah. It's another weird one, but I'm really into it. It's like, I listened to it while at the gym twice. On repeat yesterday.
So I wouldn't say it's that weird. Like it's the musically, it's pretty accessible.
Yeah, I like the sound. I just
it's just very yeah. You know.
Lyrics is very, very important to me though. I really like.
I'm sure they
a band
exist.
I can like sing along to.
You can hum along.
I've never understood bands who like go to the trouble of writing lyrics and then don't enunciate them. Like Dave Matthews might as well not have lyrics.
Those are sounds.
Hey, he enunciates those very well. It's just all over the place, so you can't tell what he's saying.
Yeah.
It changes the structure of words, a lot of them.
You're up, Brian.
So I know I put Glenn Hansard down in anticipation of his new album, which comes out soon.
Of course you did. Because you're the only person I think of when I see that name. Not even Glenn anymore.
I'm a huge Frames fan, and Glenn Hansard was the front man for the Frames, and he's done some solo stuff and side projects, and he has a new solo album coming out soon. He's just put out, I think a new single might have come out like today or yesterday. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who texted me this morning saying that they're going to see, that she's going to see Glenn tonight, and that going to see Glenn Hansard made her think of me because I've introduced a lot of people to him. But I'm going to not do that because I just bought tickets to see Destroyer in October. And if I'm going to be honest, as far as like the most played album of the last 6 months for me, even more than Taylor Swift, somehow more than Nico Case, has been Destroyer, which is Dan Bahar's like side project when he's not with New Pornographers. If you're a New Pornographers fan but know the band too well, Dan Bahar is like the weird voice in there. Of all the weird voices, he's the one that is like the whiniest and least accessible voice. And as far as like music that I don't think everybody is for everybody.
Yeah.
Destroyer is not for everybody. And
not
I couldn't
to
even tell you
Pig Destroyer.
I couldn't even tell you like why different. I like them. Pig Destroyer is a band.
Yeah.
But it's like I don't even know how to describe
we
it.
We play
it's
the warehouse like, on Thursday.
It's sort of like irreverent deconstructed pop with elements of like
deconstructed pop pie.
80s synth with like Canadian folk. Like it's so hard to
can you describe his vocals?
They're incredibly whiny.
It's like it tastes the way it sounds when you peel an orange.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just try to describe it in the most abstract way possible. Their music sounds like fresh rain.
It's like when you it's like, you know, when you drink Earl Grey tea and it's a little bit too cold.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like that after tang. Mm-hmm. That's the music.
I right really there. Hate Earl Grey. So this
it's
is
it's like
it's
a little bit citrusy.
It's got a good mouth feel. It's toothy.
It's echoey. There's a little synth background thing going on. But I find it to be really somehow both interesting and off-putting, but comfortable.
I mean, I'm into that weird vocalist. I like people that it almost feels like they know they can't sing, but they try really hard anyway. I mean, Gavin and I listen to Clap Your Hands Say Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
A lot. And so...
Yeah. And it, like TV on the Radio, yeah. I think, is even guilty of that.
He pushes pretty hard, but yeah. I like what happens there.
Well,
anyway,
I love Clap Your
so
Hands.
It's, I mean, he's in that realm of people who like have a really incredibly strange voice. Yeah. He's also just like a bizarre character. He has giant hair. And like when I went to see New Pornographers play, the first three songs, he just played with his back to the audience. He just saw the big hair and just, he was never face the audience. And then for the fourth song, when he actually was his turn to sing a song, he came out from the back and like took the guitar from the dude who he'd just given a wig to. It was like a guy from the Dodos. The lead singer from the Dodos was like, had just replaced him for a while and
that's
put
incredible.
On a wig.
That's incredible.
And then he just came out with his solo cup and then like sang a song and then left again. Like he would only come out for songs that he would sing.
That's weird.
So he has a weird, I mean like New Pornographers is a super group, a Canadian super group in that sort of Canadian super group realm, right? Like was it Broken Social
Broken
Scene?
Broken Social Scene. Great.
There's
Canadian
a few of them
group.
And I think it's partially because of the way that the Canadian government makes their radio stations play music. You have to play a certain number of Canadian bands. Mm. So it, like they're going to get some airplay there if you have a new project that you're working on. So, but I think he has a new album. I've heard on the way into work today, they played his single on KEXP, but I mean, I've been nonstop listening to Kaput, the album Kaput, which has Chinatown on it. And that's sort of like what I consider to be like, if he has an accessible album, that's the most accessible one. And it's, I don't know. It's good from start to finish. And you can play it as an album. That's what I like about it. Like, he's dynamic enough that there's a sound there because he's a weird voice, but the music is dynamic enough that song to song and, like, there's something interesting happening. So, Destroyer. And they have a show in Seattle, I think, at the Neptune in middle of October, like the 16th, I think. And I bet it's going to be really great.
Where is Neptune?
It's on the edge of the U District. It's across from the Deca Hotel over there.
Oh, it's in the U
District.
It's not on the edge.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I was the edge of the campus almost.
You got to get in there though. Like you're not going to be great. You're not going to feel comfortable about where you parked your car. I can tell you that. You're going to feel nervous. You're going to want to bring a buddy.
Take a bus.
Take a buddy on the bus. Actually, no, don't take the bus. Then you got to be at the bus stop, vulnerable.
Yeah.
Just bring a buddy, drive a car. Lock your doors. Don't leave any valuables in sight, you guys.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
So, is that it, or do we want to have a general discussion
anything
now?
Anything else you want to mention?
Well,
any other bands you want to hype?
I mean, yeah, I like music a lot. And I just want to talk about a phenomenon that Gavin and I have been starting to do occasionally, which is shameless old music listening to sessions, as in things we listened to in middle school and high school just you turn on privately sitting on Spotify. I type in something I listen to and hit enter.
And then I live tweeted. Yeah, so then none of it is actually private.
This happened for a few days.
We got to name this.
We got super gross with it. If you want to work on a name.
Mustalgia. No, that sounds gross. Yeah.
No, it doesn't have enough shame in it.
But let's try to get shameful with some band name drops right here.
Tonic.
Tonic.
Tonic right there.
Tantric.
Tantric, sure.
Days of the New.
Creed. New Radicals. Limp Bizkit. And not even good Limp Bizkit.
No,
I'm talking chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water Limp Bizkit.
Corn.
Yeah, I feel 100% like corn.
Good Limp Bizkit is like that's not a possible thing.
Yeah, they're like shit in the beginning. That was a different thing they were doing. That was strong.
The first album was okay.
Yeah. I mean, do you go over like
Papa Roach?
Do you go to Rage Against the Machine, or is that too?
No, Rage Against the Machine is a good band.
Yeah,
that has to be a band that you're ashamed to listen to now.
Yeah, so there has to be shame involved.
There has to be shame involved. So
except we don't shame each other. Like the song will come on, and we do this thing where like I mean, you obviously see the title, and I try to guess what it is.
Yeah.
But like I'm like, oh my god, is this? And what was the one I kept guessing that it never was?
I can't remember.
Oh my god! Every single band I would be like, is this band?
Okay, I got a shitty one for you, Sugar Ray.
Oh, we were there. Yeah. Oh yeah, we were
at
in
least
that.
Three Sugar Ray tracks.
We went there.
The sad part was like I would grab a guitar and be able to play some songs.
Yeah, that was the other part. Is us trying to like work them out.
Yeah, you did like the same thing.
Out of the locker and into your ear.
Yeah.
Shame-free Thursday.
We got into some good stuff every now and then. Though, like Lisa Loeb came up.
Yeah, we had Perfect Circle.
That was strong. Yeah, yeah.
Lisa Loeb is like in most mixes that I ever make.
She just gets in there. It's like when you're at the beach, there's always sand and everything
forever.
It's
either her or Natalie Imbruglia who are essentially.
Oh, yeah. We got the Natalie Imbruglia. We got that.
We did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Strong album.
Some of that.
I want her to.
Filter, yeah. Silverchair, which I still say is good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Silverchair is good.
I think they're good.
Yeah. Fuel, yeah.
Fuel,
good shit.
Fuel, who I will listen to and know many of the lyrics.
What about Bare Naked Ladies?
Yep. We got there, but I
like BNL, though. Like, I don't think that they're like a shameful band.
Are you a stunt person or a Gordon person?
I'm a stuntist person.
You're a stuntist? Mm-hmm. You're a stuntist? See, I'm a Gordonist.
I don't know.
I'm a Gordonite.
I never got into. Don't know.
What other shit did we get into? I tried to get to like way new metal-y.
Crash Test Dummies.
That was where I was in that area. Some really gross.
POD.
Yeah, we got a POD.
We got to POD.
You're gonna start making me vomit here.
Yeah, no, it was.
See?
You would have shot us some looks.
Yeah, these are the bands I did not.
We got to Live.
Yeah, we got to Live.
Oh, Collective Soul was the band. I kept asking you every single thing that would come up. I'd ask if it was Collective Soul.
And that's the song I can fully play.
It was Collective Soul, I think I didn't ask you.
You didn't. Oh, what's that?
For a long time, I got Collective Soul and Soul Asylum mixed up so bad.
We listened to Verve and the Verve Pipe.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Have you gone further back?
Who's the Chick Cola? You know the song?
Yeah, orgy.
Ooh, I want you. I don't know if
isn't
I
isn't that orgy?
You. No. This is
way older. This is
middle
like,
school dance.
Yeah,
type
yeah. Have
situation.
You? I was like, have 80s. You gone back into like the NXS era? Yeah.
No.
Oh wait,
Simply
that was
Red.
Not high school for or middle school for us. And I have that
was
album
that
on
NXS?
Vinyl. And it's still great.
What?
The song he's just singing.
No. It wasn't NXS. It was shit. We did Vertical Horizon. I don't know. I'm just gonna type in Chica Cherry Cola.
You need a. Did you do some Marcy Playground?
That's Savage Garden.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boom.
Did we get to Fastball?
But that's not the song you were just
we
singing.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Savage Garden. Not what? Soundgarden. Savage Garden.
Oh, wait. I remember Savage Garden. My brother liked them.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Did we do any Vitamin C?
We might have done Graduation. Because we talked about songs.
What about post-breakup Spice Girls solo songs?
Actually,
we said shame music.
Jerry Halliwell. I mean, I'm down.
Spice Girls is still great. That does not count.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Can you think of anything else? That's
I would Spice see him on this posh free reunion.
That's a question for you. Is it Spice Girls is or Spice Girls are? Like, as a band, is the band a solo? Does that count as a singular entity?
It's still a title. I see it as a title, so it's is. Because they're not the Spice Girls, are they? Aren't they just Spice Girls?
Spine Shank.
Oh, what was that shitty band?
There's a bunch of them. Keep going.
We listened to them. Whatever.
Buck
it is.
Cherry.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't. I don't think I actually typed
did
it.
Did we get
in.
To Eagle Eye Cherry?
Oh,
no,
God.
We didn't.
That band,
we didn't.
Too. Yeah,
the
Jesus.
Cherry Paradigm got skipped yeah. over completely.
We did Cherry Pop and Daddies.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
And
no,
we did.
You
know, they weren't that bad. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah.
Did you, did like, so did this happened in my town where, like, that sort of, like, swing revival.
Oh, yeah, it's super popular everywhere.
Like, the whole zoot, like, hit real hard in
Squirrel
my
Nut
town.
Zippers?
We all took, like, yeah, Squirrel Nut Zippers. I still listen to them.
Yeah.
And, but, like, we all took swing lessons and, like, just, like, it went, we went way deep.
A lot of people did.
Yeah, we did, Brian.
That didn't happen where I was. We listened to rockabilly and we went deep with that.
No. This is new metal in my city.
Okay, it was a small town. We had not much to do besides hang out in the gas station.
Fretless bases shaped like coffins.
Yeah.
A friend of mine could stand on his bass and balance it while he played it.
There was a local band called Monkey Nut that came out with blacklight face paint. It's pretty great, right? It's super bad.
Into it?
No. Monkey Nut.
Such a good name.
It's so bad. Shame.
Stained.
Yeah. We went through almost every stain.
Oh my God. And then we did the stained, the Aaron Lewis Fred Durst outside version that was like real strong. And we like, you know, we had our lighters out.
Yeah.
Just like swaying to the beat.
Yeah. I can play that one too. That's like,
you don't have a lighter.
I
the lighter
heart,
app on my phone.
In my heart, I did.
I'm on the.
Can we circle back to actual bands that we like?
We like these bands. We just don't want a lot of people to know about it.
I don't like these bands.
New stuff recommended.
I loved them when I was
a
kid.
I hated them back then, too.
Oh, Eve 6. I know we got there.
Yeah, we got there.
Well, except Stained. I liked some of those.
I liked Stained.
Some of those. I liked Stained.
Look, Crash Test Dummies is the ultimate band in this realm, but they're like considered mathematically to be one of the worst bands of all time.
Yeah.
And yet I love two of their albums.
Why are they considered to be one of the worst bands of all time?
Just like based on like collective polls or something. Hmm. Like.
All right. Well, how about this? Shameful band that you absolutely love undyingly and you won't even be ashamed because like Crash Test Dummies.
Crash Test Dummies is that band for me. Yeah.
Mine is Alien Ant Farm. I absolutely love Alien Ant Farm. I promise you.
Hmm.
They're so good. But everyone only knows the Michael Jackson cover.
Yeah,
I promise.
Well, I know a couple of her songs because I heard them.
They're all great.
I did not.
But everybody heard that Alien Ant Farm cover. They heard that Michael Jackson cover Alien Ant Farm on MTV when they were growing up. They watched the music video.
Yep. They're playing
Smooth
here
Criminal,
soon, I
right?
I don't know what my
they did
Shame band.
You're like all of my bands are great. Everybody loves all of my bands.
Most of them are Shame band. There are a lot of them. Like I like the Jonas Brothers. I like Nick Jonas's stuff. Like I think it's good. I think there's some strong stuff in there.
I don't know, but like I think it has to be away from it has to be a genre like.
But
band,
I guess that's still not shameful. It's only shameful in this group because that's still like that's super popular music. Like it's good music.
Yeah, I
it's
think
just
pop
most,
and because pop sort of like designed to be consumed.
Yeah,
it has to be something that like you can hate without hating pop culture.
I know
so.
Every word of Limp Bizkit's Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored
yeah, you
Water.
Do. I think that might be
every
your shit.
Yeah, that's pretty
word.
Shameful. Yeah.
I would listen to it right now. And when you asked me which track I wanted you to play, I knew exactly what track number it was because it's this song that features Scott Weiland.
I could sing every lyric to the Method Man Fred Durst rap in Together Now from Significant Other.
Yeah.
Strong. I'm ashamed.
Strong. I rocked that music video.
That's a good music video. Oh, man.
Yes.
Wu-Tang crossover.
Yes.
Same.
Any Wu-Tang crossover.
Huh? You know, if you say Fred Durst's name enough, he will apparate here.
Yeah.
So we should be careful.
He's not doing much else. He's just kind of.
He's on Twitter.
He's looking for people to say his name. He's always got his ear out for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time coming up with that one.
Just got such
Radiohead.
Good
taste. No, I just ditched them.
So good.
It's like, fuck this. This is garbage. I realized that.
Did you ditch?
Maybe.
But you have to know the lyrics in and out to an album that you might tell yourself that I don't listen to that garbage anymore. But if it played, you'd be like, what's this next track? Oh, yeah.
You look around you and then you turn it up.
Yeah.
He rolls the windows in your car.
Right click. Private session. That's my life.
That's like
maybe
me and Miley Cyrus. That's the relationship I have
maybe
with her.
The first two Korn albums.
All right.
Probably still like that. They were an interesting band.
You say the Korn albums?
Yeah, the first two.
Such a good sound. Like, such a unique sound.
It is a very unique sound.
I was never a huge fan of his voice, but the rest of it, I liked a lot.
He would do weird shit. He scattered all over the place.
You know what?
I loved...
He introduced...
The second song in the first album where he did not sing. It was the other guy that was singing. I thought that was the best song they have.
Wait, was that Monkey?
Yeah. No, no, it was...
Fielding Monkey Head.
Yeah, it was David singing, yeah.
Why do I know their names?
I know their names. I bought... Dude, I bought... Okay, I bought a Tom of Rockstar drum set. Specifically, Tom of Rockstar is what the kind of drum set I wanted because that's what David Silveria and Korn played. I had the black drum heads because that's what he played. I just thought he was so cool, man. He looks so cool in those music videos. You know that, what, though? Dave, you and I have one that we share.
That bleach blonde hair.
Which is System of a Down.
Yeah.
What? System of a Down was really good.
But so inaccessible.
At first.
Why?
Because they are the most weird sound. We describe the sounds
that... Is inaccessible bad, though? I don't think so.
Well, we describe the sounds that Serge makes in terms of like animal noises. We're like, okay, this is like the pterodactyl.
Yeah.
This is like the velociraptor sound. It's like...
Yeah, that first album is so good.
Yeah, right?
So good.
Self-titled?
We both know all the words and all the drum parts, and we will just like drive around in the car and headbang and just like get into the lyrics.
Yep, it's very good.
Oh, here's one. I think everybody hates them. Bush.
But no, I fucking love Bush.
I like Bush.
My name is Gavin. I chose that name.
That's true. Yeah.
16 like, Stone.
Gavin Rossdale, man. I love that guy. He's awesome. He's the coolest guy ever.
I will never forget when, what was it? It was during Lollapalooza when there was that huge lightning storm and he went out solo and played Glycerine on an electric guitar while it rained and poured and lightninged because they had to cancel like all the sets that day because of the storm. Like it was dangerous.
That was like the last Lollapalooza, right?
I don't know. It was a while ago.
I'm thinking Woodstock where they went apeshit and lots of bad things happened.
I think it was Lollapalooza. It could have been Woodstock.
Yeah.
But they told the bands not to play and he came out and re-performed Glycerine and I thought that was rad. But yeah, no, I love Bush.
Yeah, I saw them live too. They were really good.
Razorblade Suitcase.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite album of theirs. Yeah. I guess that's the end of the podcast.
It's there. We should be done now.
We won.
I have other bands that I'm into, but I haven't mentioned.
Well, of course, we all do.
The great thing about this, we'll do it again.
We can
continuously do this.
Maybe I'll have a new Alison Weiss album to talk about.
I have one I'm saving for next time that I'm big into.
If you guys have any shame bands you want to send us, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com. And I'm just going to end it on that because you know all the rest of the shit. Bye.
Bye.